Mark 1, we'll begin reading at verse 21. We'll go down to verse 28. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the unclean spirit had torn him, cried with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. So in the synagogue, there's a man. And this man has an unclean spirit. You remember from last time I taught from, well, the text of my sermon was from verses 21 and 22 about the teaching and preaching of Jesus. But taking this text in its whole, we find Jesus is teaching there in the synagogue. And there's this one. That's what I want to preach on today, is the demon-possessed man in the synagogue. This demon-possessed man in the synagogue. And how we need to be reminded that sometimes, even though we're not in the synagogue, we do meet in this building for the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. We ought to be reminded that not everybody who comes into the house of God, not everybody who enters in under the preaching and teaching of God's Word is on their way to heaven. There are people who sometimes will be under the preaching of your pastor or under the preaching of even the Lord Jesus Christ who are in terrible shape spiritually. Even sometimes under this roof. Understand something. And if I walk that way down the aisle, and Brother Barry starts coming up this way, up the aisle, we're in the same place, meaning that we're in the church building, but we're going different directions. I'm going that way, he's coming this way. That's that way, we understand that in the physical sense. But realize, beloved, that so it is spiritually. Not everybody who enters into the church, not everybody who came to the synagogue was on their way to heaven. Our sign right there says exit for service. We come in for worship. Yes, these are primary things. And growing up in at King's Edition and even at Mansfield, we had similar signs on our buildings. I love that. To think that when you walk out the door there, you're now entering the mission field. But understand something, that the mission field may be here too. That there is service here too, not just worship. These are primary things. We primarily come here for worship. And we primarily go out there for service. Praise God. We can worship out there too. And we can serve the Lord here as well. As we meet sometimes people with different needs. different needs. Just because someone comes to church doesn't mean that they're saved, any more than if someone goes to a gym doesn't mean that they're physically fit. You know what I'm saying? And so the gospel is often preached, even here in the house of God and behind this pulpit, because we don't always know the hearts. Well, we never know the hearts of men. But there may be, and oftentimes are, people who are here who are lost. I know I was saved as a young man, being lost. And where was I at? I was at church. I've been to church many times. The Bible is clear. The Bible is very clear. You can know for sure that you're going to heaven. You can know for sure that you're saved, and there's going to be evidence of that salvation. And we thank the Lord for it. But understand, beloved, if somebody comes into the building who is so torn up, and let me tell you, this guy was torn up bad. The Bible tells us, just describing his condition. It says there in verse 23, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. He cried out. He interrupted the service. He interrupted the teaching. You see. Could have been seen as disrespectful, rude, inconsiderate. Somebody could have moved to get him out of the building, but he needed help. He needed help. And the only one who could help him, well, he was there that day. He was there that day. And praise the Lord that wherever you were spiritually, there was a day that you cried out. You needed help. You had no clue where to find it, but the Lord was there that day too. And you think about that and consider that. Satan and his demons were at work during the Lord's ministry. And I believe here too, in particular, not only to disrupt the service, but to disrupt the Lord. There was a great amount of demonic activity that was going on in those days. It seemed to be very, very focused in that area and in those people. And these people were torn up with this sort of thing. There's always been a war going on. It started way back when Lucifer first fell. Go with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, begin verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. I will ascend up above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Satan's desire was to be like the Most High, to dethrone the very God of heaven. Here was this one created angel, mighty in power, but not God. Yet he wanted what God had. He wanted to be what God was and is and will forever be. And after a little while, he brought that battle to earth, to God's perfect garden. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Excuse me. He brought it to the earth, this war. And he says to Eve, did God really say? Yea, hath God said. Did God really say? This questioning of God's word. Anything to discredit, question, or distract the actual word of God. And then he carried it further in the text there. He says, you'll not really die. God's a liar. You're not going to die. In fact, what he's doing is he's hiding from you. He's keeping back from you something that is good. Because in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be as God. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Also went her husband with her, and he did eat. Oh, beloved. And for some 6,000 years, this war has been going on. It's carried on generation after generation. Tribe after tribe, country after country. It's carried on even to our present day. Don't be distracted. Don't fall for the devil's lies. Don't let him disrupt the worship service. But know that there is a cure, there is a solution. That Jesus is going to be the winner of this. Back in Mark 1, verse 24. Saying, let us alone. This is what the man with the evil spirit is crying out. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. I believe what's happening here is there's a shift. Okay? Notice verse 23, it says, "And there was in their synagogue a man," singular, "with an unclean spirit, and he cried out." But what was he crying? "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" You notice the plural that's in here. I understand and I believe that he's talking about the man and the spirit. That's why he's using the plural form. But I couldn't help but think about this pronoun confusion that's going on in our world today. There are people who say there's nothing at all wrong with them, who say that their preferred pronouns are they, them, instead of he, she, he or him, or she and her. They use plural. And that's weird. That's weird to me. Like, how am I going to go up to say, "Oh, I talked to Barry and they're doing good. Barry was at church and they were good." Well, my wife would say, "Oh, was Tina there?" No, it was just Barry. That's just weird. It's not even good grammar. It was good to see them. Who, Barry and Tina? No, just Barry. What? What in the world's going on with our society? But there are people who demand that you talk to them that way. And I couldn't help but think about that as I read this text. Because listen to me. I'm not saying that everybody out there who is confused with their gender and with the pronouns and all that, I'm not saying everybody is possessed by demons. But I am saying that this confusion, it is demonic. It's demonic. It's not of the Lord. It's demonic. People get upset because use the wrong pronoun. You look at some guy and he wants to be called her or they. And they say we're the weird ones because we see a guy stand in front of us and we say sir or him or he. And they say, "Oh, no, no, you've got this wrong. My preferred pronoun is they or her." Where's all that coming from? It's not from God. It's of the devil. It's of the devil, folks. And we ought to be much in prayer for these people because they need the Lord, just like this man needed the Lord. And we know Jesus is not with us physically, but certainly we have the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can pronounce the truth, teach the truth, proclaim the gospel. In Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" You see, this war was dropped down upon our world there at the beginning, right shortly after the creation. And it is telling that many attacks are being made on the family, on marriage. What is marriage? Well, you say, "Well, marriage is man and woman." Yes, but what is it beyond that? Marriage is the one thing that we have that predates the fall. You ever think about that? The church doesn't go back that far. Government doesn't go back that far. But marriage? Marriage goes all the way back to before the fall. And you know who instituted it? God Himself. Where's Satan point his attacks? He point his attacks on the family and on marriage. Satan knew that. When he entered into the garden, he found Adam and Eve. Adam was very clearly a male, and Eve was very clearly a female. There were no he-she's or she-he's. There's no gender confusion. Let me just put it as simple as what I can for those who may listen to this. And in case the FBI is watching and monitoring me, I don't know. But let's just put it bluntly. Adam was a man with male parts and Eve was a woman with female parts. That's the way God created them in the beginning. The two were compatible with each other. It wasn't that by chance, luck, fate. It's that way by design. And so what's Satan doing? He's going in and he's corrupting this and causing confusion. God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us. And so the devil, Satan, and his demons, they know a lot about God's word. They know a lot about God's design. They know a lot. And in fact, they knew some things that the Jews didn't know. Look there in Mark chapter 1, verse 24. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. They knew Jesus. They knew He was the creator of the world. They knew Him to be the judge of the humans, man, woman, children, but also of the devils, you see. Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. He recognized who Jesus was. This lost man with an unclean spirit, he was not saved. James chapter 2 and verse 19 tells us. James 2 and verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. See, they have a knowledge here. They know in their mind. They've seen it. They can't deny it. There's no such thing as a demon or a devil that is an atheist. They know. They know there's a God, and they know exactly who He is. And they know that their time is coming. And when he was disrupting that service, the teaching of Jesus, he cried out. And that's what he cried out, this witness. Verses 25 and 26. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. What did that man need? What was needed at that very hour? Now, for somebody to go and get him out of the room. He didn't need the psychologists. He didn't need the doctors. He didn't need a pill for some mental problem. No, what he needed was the Word of God. The Word of the Lord. Jesus spoke this rebuke. That's what was needed. You and I, we have His Word. Oh, beloved. I thank the Lord that the people of God are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And when you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, there's no room for devils or demons to come in and wreak havoc like that, on, like they did with this one. But understand, we may come into contact with people who have unclean spirits. What do we have for them? We have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. That's what's needed. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. 9 commands that Jesus gave, or that Paul gave to Timothy here in this text, with preaching the word being primary among them. But understand something. In this, we have that we've got the same authority as Jesus. When we speak in the face of all manner of evil, sin, trouble, and trial, folks who are running in all sorts of directions, there's only one way that's right, and that's through Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so whatever it is that someone may be going through, for that matter, whatever it is that you may be going through, whether you're lost or you're saved, the answer is the same. Jesus is the answer. And we have that answer through the preaching of His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. That even the most hardened of sinners, the worst of causes, a man, he's got an evil spirit in him. You know, if he were brought into our society, you know what they'd do with him? They'd try to drug him up. They'd try to get him reformed through the prison system. Who knows what they'd try to do for him? Nothing would help him except for the Lord. Back into our text there in Mark chapter 1. Verse 26, it says, when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Praise the Lord, the spirit is gone from this man. The spirit, this evil spirit is gone, departed from this man. How did that happen? What's the prescription? Jesus spoke. And the devil, this unclean spirit, heard and left. Jesus' words brought peace where there had never been peace. God's sovereignty reaches everywhere. Even the devils must submit to God's holy, divine, perfect plan. When he says go, they have to go. That's why we should never fear these things. Our God is in control of all. What was the reaction of the people? Well, of course, they were all amazed. That's what the Bible says. Insomuch that they questioned among themselves, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Certainly, if they were astonished at his teaching, his doctrine, he taught one that had authority and not as the scribes, they were even more astonished as they witnessed this. This demon fled from this man. They started asking questions. And all the excitement. What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? And that's good. Questions and discussions are good. People are interested. You see, because sometimes when you're dealing with people, what's happening here, these questions, the Lord, he uses that as we answer them through the Word of God, or as they seek out the answers in God's Word, the Holy Spirit comes and applies that to the heart, you see. It says, immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Well, no wonder, as Jesus had been teaching and preaching and doing these great miracles, his fame spread. So I ask you, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, what about us? Has his fame, has the fame of Jesus Christ spread abroad because of what we've seen and what we've heard? The Lord has saved us. Oh, what a great miracle that is. We've seen others saved. We have his word. We have a mouth. We have a platform. Social media, our friends, family, whatever it is. What are we doing with it? While we're here, let's make sure that the message of Christ, that Jesus is made famous in our country, starting in our corner of it, right down here in Southeast Georgia, in Brantley and Glenn counties. May God help us to be faithful to that, even as we carry on through this life. May God add a blessing to his word.